for or value of the copyrighted work.
Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asek of Asek Real Estate, Danielle Rocco of Echo 6 Creations, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination as we count down to number 500. Special guest for you today, and I think a new one for Oscar Mike Radio after all these years. I am talking to an Olympic athlete, and you could sit there and make the argument that Olympic athletes in their own way serve our country with a very special situation, a very special, you know, sense of advocacy and urgency, not only for his story, but also for veterans. I want to welcome bobsledder Will Person to Oscar Mike Radio. Will, thank you for joining us.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'm going through my emails, and, you know, this story came across my wire, if you will, about a bobsledder who, you know, competed in the Olympics, competed for a long time at a very, very high level in a very, very high speed sport. And it said, hey, there's a correlation with what Will is going through and veterans because of, you know, brain injury, CTE situations, and then what Will's trying to do to shine light on it. I started looking into it. I'm like, wow, what? I didn't know anything about this. And again, this is the best part of doing my shows. I don't know a whole lot, and I'm learning a whole lot at the same time. So we're going to get into all this in your story around advocacy and bobsleigh and all that, but kind of just start us off with who Will is and how did you get into bobsledding?
I got tricked just like everybody else. That's a short answer. There was a tryout hosted by NBC. This was like in 1998. I was the fastest American at the time in the state of Utah. And so they kept calling me, asking me to come out for this tryout. And I really didn't want to do it, but I said, you know, it was my last year track and field. I said, why not? So I went out there, all these cameras on me, these hot lights. There was one bobsled driver there. And when it was my turn to do my tryout, I set a new record on the tryout, but I didn't know that. But what I did know is this guy's eyes were huge, like staring at me. Like, so he puts his arm around me. He offers me $50,000 on live TV. Well, not live TV, but on the cameras, NBC cameras. Asked for me to race on his team for the next 3 months. And I gave him an educated answer. Sure, if it's a fair price. If not, we can renegotiate later. But in the back of my head, I was like, you know, I'm counting that money. You know, I was like, yeah, consider that money counted, you know. But what I quickly found out is he didn't have sponsorship. And I did the tryout was on a Wednesday. By that following Friday, there was an America's Cup race. I wound up racing, winning the medal. NBC ran that story on a show called Go for the Gold. And it was something new for me. It was different. And also at that time, I owned a youth treatment facility for kids and who were transitioning out of secure care. And so I was doing that too. So I was just loving life at the time.
Take me through going in a bobsled, because here's what I see, you know, Joe American on the watching the TV during the Olympics is,
yeah,
there's three guys in this big, long metal tube.
Four. It's either two or four.
Oh, two or four. Okay.
So, yeah. Two.
And they get this thing and it's like they take off like they're just every ounce of strength they have and they jump in this thing and it gets going real, real slow. And then all of a sudden, about 3 seconds into this thing just goes into hyperdrive. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's a very fast in a confined space with what appears to be no margin for error. Take us through what that's like, Will.
Man, well, you just said it. It's not much of a margin for error. My job really, I'm the brakeman. I'm the guy usually all the way on the back. And so my job is really get that thing moving fast. And most importantly, at the end, pull the brakes and stop that thing before we shoot off into the forest or something.
Yeah, because I've seen where they miss.
Yeah.
And bad stuff starts happening real quick.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens all the time. You know, happened to me before. Like, I hate to say it, but yeah, it got me before too. But I didn't let it get too far, but I didn't stop it where I wanted to stop it. But
is it a rush? Are you like in a rush situation when that thing is going around the corners?
You know what? When you first start the sport, yeah, it's a rush. But I tell you what, like for me, one of the things, my first red flag that I didn't catch, we were racing World Cup in Cortina, Italy. Matter of fact, it's where the next Olympics are going to be at. And there's a spot on the track where you hit this little bump, little ice bump in it, and most sleds go airborne. And so at the end of that run, all the guys in my sled, they were like, "My God, did you feel that?" I was like, "Feel what?" I don't know. I didn't feel anything. Like, I knew what they were talking about, but I was starting to become numb to that stuff. So, but it's a rush in the beginning. But after a while, it becomes a job like anything else.
You train, you get the weight room,
Oh yeah.
nutrition, all that stuff, recovery, so on and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. You have to. You won't survive that sport. It's just it's brutal. It's brutal.
That's the thing that I didn't really know. Explain to me why it's brutal, because again, for the layman out there, it looks like four guys are just jumping and going sledding, and it's just a gravity's doing all the hard work. So what's so hard about it? And as I learned about your story, I got educated, but explain to us why that's so hard.
What kind of car do you drive?
I got a sedan with a 5-liter V8. Yeah.
Okay, let's take that 5-liter V8 sedan. We're gonna remove the motor.
Okay.
We're gonna cut the top off. Now
All right.
you got you a low convertible, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So imagine driving down your street. Our top speed is about 95 miles an hour. So imagine you doing 95, going down just a nice highway.
Yeah.
But you got a stoplight coming up. You got the right of way, and you got a left-hand turn to make. Come up to that stoplight. You cannot slow down. You cannot pull those brakes. You're going to accelerate through it, and you just turn the car, and that's what we're going through. And so, what
So
happens?
there's a lot of force being put on you then, isn't there?
It's the G forces. That's where the G forces come in at,
Okay.
and so that's the biggest problem right there. It's reported that we're doing 4 to 5 G's. However, an article came out by New York Times in 2020. They tested the one of the mildest tracks in the world up in Canada. You know, you ever see that movie Cool Runnings? That's where that movie
Yes,
was
yes.
shot at. Yeah. So they tested that track. There were spikes of 84.5 G forces. And that's why everybody is sick in the sport. Everybody, when you leave the sport, you get sick, you
That's more
know?
than F1 drivers endure.
Way more. Yeah, way more. And bigger. So, and the biggest thing is more than our F-15 fighter pilots. Like, I took those guys on a ride one time, and when they got out the sled, they were rattled. And it always sat with me. I said, like, how could that be? That you guys are the baddest of the bad. But no, those guys wear pressure suits, and they only pull 6 G's, I found out. They said they can override it and do 7, but they have pressure suits. They're taught how to reduce the G-force exposure, and without it really hurting them. But
You don't
Article
have
can't,
that.
no, we don't have any of that. It's not even talked about, you know. But what I did find out is about 2024 December, an article came out. Once again, New York Times, they reported. Matter of fact, I printed that sucker out. I've never done this before, but this is actually the article. You won't be able to find it unless I send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link.
The pilots have the same issues as the bobsled. I was like, wait a minute, how? I said, I knew it. And then my story and the military story connected at that moment. I took that sucker to the, I shared it with my lawyers because I filed a class action lawsuit to get
Let's
everybody help.
go back just a little bit
Yeah.
before we go to that,
Okay. Yeah.
because you're going through your Olympic career. You competed at a high level, Will, for a long period of time.
Yeah, and
When
I.
did the accumulation of all that really start affecting you in a way that you knew, like, you know what, something is not right, and this is not working for me anymore?
Wow, man, it was a lot of red flags that
Yeah.
I rationalized. Like, for example, I wake up and not know where I was at. So I had to turn the lights on and look around the room, and I just, I said, well, I represent my country. I've traveled a lot and I'm loving life. And I said, that's what it is. I just travel a lot. So I rationalized it. But that wasn't the problem. I was side effects. And then one time, I went back home to see some of my buddies, and we hadn't seen each other in a while, so we met up to go shoot pool. And my buddy was like, "Hey, man, is your ex-girlfriend over there? She's coming in." And I looked, and I was like, "I don't. She's pretty, but I don't know her." And she sprinted over there, and she jumped in my arms, and I caught her. And once again, I rationalized it. I have lots of friends, but I wasn't recognizing people that I knew, my loved ones, and that was the beginning of it. And I once again, rationalize it, and it just went in one ear and out the other, and it just was gone. You know, and by the time the symptoms really kicked in, so I had these random days where I was cloudy, didn't have any energy. I thought it was like diabetes or something, and didn't make sense because I was a clean eater, and doctors kept telling me I was wrong, no diabetes. And eventually those random cloudy days turned into permanent cloudy days. And once that happened, I still didn't connect the dots. I'm
Wow.
still thinking my doctors are lying to me. Like, this got to be diabetes. I know what this looks like. This is low blood sugar. And they were right, and I was wrong. And only way I connected the dots is one of my teammates. Like, I did a movie years ago called Jerry Maguire. I did five characters in there. It was me running around with Cuba Gooding Jr. to make it look like real athletes were on the football field. I was a 4.23 40 guy, a 10.1 sprinter sometimes, you know, at my peak. And so I was a fast guy. So they gave me five uniforms and they just let me run up and down the field, and it just made it look pretty, you know. But so when I left the sport, one of my teammates wanted to be go to Hollywood and write. So he would call me with these crazy concepts for movies, right? And they were things I've never seen before. And I was like, that's brilliant. So I would help him kind of tweak it. And but the very last time he called me, he was speaking gibberish. Like I didn't understand a word he said. And because I owned a treatment facility and mental health was my background, I told myself every day, I gotta help this guy. And my God, eventually I realized I got the phone call that he went to his family's factory and he hung himself. And that's when things started to kind of make sense. Then I realized my driver from the world championships. And the guy who only gentleman who ever won medals for a gold medal for America since 2000, since 1946, actually, Stephen Holcomb, he killed himself at the Olympic Training Center in 2018. And then I started connecting. I was like, that's a lot of suicides. Wait a minute. But I'm still not thinking it's me. Like, this is just these guys. But the truth was, at that time, every morning when I woke up, I had a little book. It was a little daily planner. It was a blue one. I opened it up, had to figure out what the day is. Like, okay, today is Monday. Okay. Now, what month are we in? I always thought it was January or August. I was stuck in this little loop. And the answer is I didn't connect those dots. I didn't know I was sick, even though I'm watching people die around me. Even when it was an article came out called Sledhead, written by the New York Times. And it actually talked about the sicknesses of my teammates. I literally got on my knees and thanked God that all the symptoms missed me. And when I sent that article to my girlfriend, she circled some stuff and sent it to me. And the first thing I saw was noise sensitivity. And if you look at my glasses, they're slightly tinted. I'm sensitive to light, sounds, and smells.
Oh, wow.
And actually, the truth is, the reason why I had to send that letter to my girlfriend is I broke up with her because she was talking too loud in the house. So I bought a little lake house in the Midwest just to get away from the noise. And that's so that's what you're dealing with. And nothing is rational. You know, it's everything is just you're reactive, you're treating your symptoms, you're trying to survive. And at that time, when that article came out, my buddy Pablo's autopsy report showed up. He was in stage 4 of CTE. And for me, the truth is, when he killed himself, I felt so guilty and I felt responsible because I didn't do anything. But the truth was, I had taken the mattress off my bed in the bedroom. I put it in my living room. And so when I was talking to him, trying to help him, I was living on the floor between my bathroom and my kitchen because I just couldn't get up some days, and I was crawling, and it was just man, horrible life, man. I think back, I just don't know how
So,
it's so. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
at
brother.
that time, you know, after that is when you went and filed the class action lawsuit.
Well, no, I still hadn't figured it out. I
Okay.
talked to I called a bunch of friends. And since we don't talk very often, like we all just live in different parts of the country.
Sure.
And so I'm sharing this article with them. And they're all saying the same things. Like, you know, well, actually, first I'm calling. I didn't know about the article when I first started calling them. And they were telling me these bizarre stories. And then when I shared the article with them, they still said the symptoms missed them. And I told them all the same thing. I said, take this article, share it with your loved ones. And if you feel the need to call me back, call me back. And every single time my phone rang, because the stories they were telling me were so bizarre. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's got them too. But I still can't see it in myself. And that's what's so dangerous about this thing. Because, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're seeing everybody else go through this. You know where the problems are, but it's like you can't see it in yourself because you're right in it, right?
Yeah,
Right.
absolutely. Absolutely.
What then changed that for you, Will?
Oh man. Joe Namath.
Joe Namath, really?
Joe Namath, man. Yeah, he
With the coat on the sidelines for the Jets?
yeah, of all
Okay.
people. Like he raced before I was alive. I mean, he was playing football before I was alive. So I remember watching him in an old movie, and I had, man, that movie's so old I had it on Betamax. This was in the 70s. You know, I would come home from school and put that movie in. It was CC Rider. He was riding motorcycles. One of my favorite movies. But yeah, man, that guy, like my algorithm, see, I thought it was diabetes all this time. And
Okay.
so once I knew Pavly had CTE, now I'm researching CTE when I'm clear enough to understand, when, because I couldn't read anymore. I was struggling with reading, writing, math. And I was an electrical engineering student, so math and science is my background. But I
Right.
could not, give me a simple math problem in my head, I couldn't figure it out. And so, my God, I'm sorry, I missed that point. It's one of my, this is my last glitch I have. Like out, some things will just.
You were talking about how Joe Namath
Yes,
kind
yes,
of.
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my algorithm changed,
Okay.
and my algorithm changed because I'm researching CTE. His video showed up, said he used hyperbaric oxygen to reverse his
He
symptoms.
did say that at one time.
Yeah, and I was like, huh, let me try it. So I found a place. They let me come down for free because I was a US athlete, and I tried it, man. And man, my life changed. My glasses were slightly tinted. I already said that earlier,
Right.
but I'm in this chamber for one. My friend, it's a chamber right behind me. This is my personal chamber.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it was one just like that. So I get in this chamber, 1 hour. I can't make this up, guys. I don't sell these things. I don't get no kickback or anything. And matter of fact, the chamber I used was a different company than the one I have. But I'm in this chamber, 1 hour. I get out, I grab my glasses. First of all, everything I look, every the colors are real pretty now. Everything's vivid. And I think I might not have been seeing colors for a while. I don't really know for sure, but I know everything was extra bright. So I grab my glasses, I put them on, and I take them off, and I put them on, and something ain't right. And that salesman comes over to me, and I thought he was a scam artist because he's like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know, man. I don't need my glasses right now." And he says, "Oh, you're one of those." And here I'm throwing my arms up, saying, "Oh, come that salesman, he's gonna get me." But I just bought the lake house to go die in. I don't have money left. I'm destitute at this point. So he tells me some people get immediate relief, and some people need 2 sessions a day for 30 days to get that same. And so I go home, man. If you need to edit this next part out, feel free. But I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give you the real talk
Okay.
because your people are real people dealing with the same stuff.
Right.
And so I get home. I fall asleep on the couch about 9 o'clock watching TV. I wake up with this migraine. It's about midnight. And one thing about CTE and stuff, you get migraines, vertigo a lot. And so it's a bad one. I'm thinking, oh my God, did this machine hurt me? However, I had an erection and a migraine at the same time. And those are two things that don't go together. So
Right.
something was happening in my immediate, it was something was happening up there. Something was changing. And so I climb into bed, I go back to bed, it's midnight, and I wake up in the morning, it's about 9. Migraine is gone, erection is still there. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, and over the next few hours, all that cloudiness I had was gone. I had 6 days of clarity. I was like alive again. And I said, what was the fluke? Maybe it was psychosomatic. So I went back the next week on that Friday. This time I got 9 days of clarity. And then, my God, I had to buy one. But the truth is, I didn't have the money now. And by the time I tried to find the money, I was already back. It's like I never had therapy before, and I was gone again. But my dad showed up one day. I went to go pay a bill on my little phone app. It's $20,000 in my account, and I went, only one person could have done that.
Wow.
Called dad. He said, "Go get the chamber, son." And yeah, and. Now I'm like Paul Revere. I'm screaming to all the Olympic athletes around the world, go find the chambers. And they said, we can't get them in our neighborhoods. We can't, you know, regulations. And I said, well, I bought the lake house. It was really, I would call it my death house at that time. And I was like, I got the thing, I got the machine. You let me know when to come down. If you need 30 days, I got you. You know. And so this is how this started, man. And yeah.
You had to suffer for so long before you started getting some help and getting some relief.
Yeah.
You started getting some relief. How did your life change when you started coming back, if in a manner of speaking?
Well, man, I just My routine every day, there was this loop in my head. It was like I said, I was a counselor before. I was a program director. I owned a treatment facility. So I taught these hundreds of people, probably. I try to say hundreds. I had a little routine I would teach them. Like, if you're suicidal, I always tell them, man, what's the rush? What is the rush? You know, if suicide is a good idea today, it'll be a good idea tomorrow. So it always buys you one more day. And that was in my ear. It was in one ear. The other ear was telling me, in this thing, kill yourself. You get out of here. You don't need to live this life. You've lived a great life. You don't need to still be here. It was on loop. Like, that's the only thing I heard all day was that. But I couldn't leave that trauma for my family. I've seen that happen. And I couldn't leave that trauma on my family. So I made a deal with God. I said, you know, if you come get me, it won't be so hard on my family because it would just be my time. But if I do it, I'm gonna leave that trauma. So please just come get me. And every morning I woke up, I was like, what the hell am I still doing here? You know? And that was my routine. And so I went from praying for death every day to here I am advocating. I'm advocating again. I'm paying it forward. That's it.
One thing I want to ask is you would think that USA bobsledding would be very aware of this issue and offer you all some help either during your career or post-career, right? I mean, what am I missing there?
Well, I said the same thing, but they were not. They haven't been. Matter, I filed a class action lawsuit. That's what I did. And people ask me, why did you file a class action instead of just going to them directly? I had problems with them. And a matter of fact, they treated me so bad when I was there that I forgot. This condition is so bad. Like, it erased my memory of that. So when I left the sport of bobsled, I never talked about bobsled anymore. So let me give you an example. After the World Championships in 03, I was breaking for Stephen Holcomb. So after the race, I'm the number one or number two brakeman in the country, or arguably one of the two. So the next season, ready to start. I call into the office. It's time for training camp. We do training camp in Calgary, Alberta, all the time. So they said they weren't going to fund me. I was like, why? You know, they didn't give me a reason. They said, we're not funding you. So since I pushed Holcomb in the World Championships, he said, hey, I got a suite. Just come up here. I got you. So Stephen, like I said, he took his life already, but I was up there with him. And we all won these Verizon national team cell phones. We all had the same phone number, one digit off. So one day, this other driver comes to me. And he said, hey, Coach Tuffy says he wants you to find another place to stay. He said, because the Federation is coming to Canada. We're going to a new hotel. And when they do, they're going to pick up the tab. So you got to find another place to stay. He said, I don't know why he told me to tell you that, but I'm just passing the message. So I called Tuffy from my phone. And he didn't answer the phone. I called him again, no answer. A few days later, that guy comes to me with the same message. He said, I'm uncomfortable, but this is what he told me to tell you. I called Coach from my phone. He didn't answer. And I called from the other guy's phone. He picks up on the first ring. And I was like, ha. And he said, I said, Tuffy, what's going on? He said, well, each driver gets one funded athlete. And I said, I've been here for some weeks now, Tuffy. I know the truth. Is that the story you're sticking to? He starts stuttering, like, oh, I see what I can do. So a few weeks go by. They come up. Federation comes to Canada. They move us to a new hotel. We're there. I got a new roommate. I recognize that guy. He was the janitor the year before at the track. He was the guy who cleaned the ice and made it smooth for us. Nice guy. And I asked him, I said, was your ticket expensive coming up? And he's like, no. He said, I went to the training camp. I finished last. He said, then I got injured, so I'm laying around at the training center. And Tuffy asked me if I wanted to go to Canada. He was gonna pay for it. He said, what have I got to lose? And I went, oh my God, like what? And that guy was a nice guy. He didn't know any of that stuff, what was going on. And so but those are the things I dealt with. The next Olympic year came up. On day number one, I was the fastest push athlete. Day number two was the fastest push athlete. On day number three, they kicked me out in Canada. So those are the things, instead of them kicking me out totally, they made me train with the girls. And their reasoning for that was, they said, Will, you didn't have any international races last year. So Coach Tuffy told me to tell you that you can't push the national team. And I asked him, I said, is that the only reason? He said, yeah. I said, okay. We'll go back and check the records. I came back last year after my accident and I had 10, at least 10. He said, oh, you did? I said, yeah, I did. He said, no worries. They know how well you're pushing. I said, I know they do. That's why you're kicking me out. You know, and so those are the things that I dealt with, you know. And so I couldn't go directly to them. So I hired the lawyers. And I couldn't talk, guys. 2 years ago, when I filed the case, I couldn't form sentences. I struggled with talking. I didn't have a voice, and these lawyers were coming in to help us, and they were fighting for us until they weren't. Like the last four court hearings, my lawyers are now working with the defense lawyers against me. They put an offer on, he has an offer on the table right now. It's public record, guys. You can go see it. Next court hearing is in March 26, I believe. There's an offer on the table right now, $2.1 million for 700 athletes, at least. And all that money is going to lawyers. And the other thing is going to is for doctors to evaluate us, but absolutely no treatment. Absolutely no treatment. And so I asked the law judge, I was like, we're not lab rats. We need help. I came to court for relief. And I did it the right way. And matter of fact, I never asked for anything for myself. Even when they offered me money on the side to I didn't accept it. No, I'm not signing off on this. You need to help people, you know? And that's what I'm dealing with over here. And matter of fact, it's even crazier because Robert Shapiro from the Dream Team, I spoke to him and we had a few conversations. He did an investigation. He sends me an email and he says, Will, I fired your lead attorney. I kept your co-counsel because I know him. We're gonna help you guys get the results you need. I was like, okay, thank you. 24 hours later, Will, I quit. What? What do you mean? You fired my lawyers. What do you mean you quit? So that's what I'm dealing with over here. Somebody's getting to these guys. I don't know. I think I'm pretty sure I know who's doing it, but man, it's the most craziest thing. And like I still haven't signed off on it. They've tried to bully me off the case. They've brought in more lead plaintiffs to try to dilute my voting power because I'm the only one who can sign off on this thing. So that target's on my back, man. And I've been warned by some big Hollywood producers. They told me like, some really big people don't want this stuff, the information to come out. It's not safe material. Be careful, you know. And so that's what I'm really dealing with over here, with that part of it.
Well, it's just strange when you compare that to the military experience, and we're having to sit there and admit that, hey, maybe there is an aspect of moral injury and PTSD, but it wasn't really until we started using these high impact, high shockwave weapons near ground troops that they
Yes.
started having other physiological problems. And then, in my community, there's a real push. I talked to Frank Larkin, who was a Navy SEAL. His son committed suicide. And he's like, Travis, I know that some of the weapons my son used affected his mind and his head because of the shockwaves, because of the force and continual pounding on the human body.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't think I know there is correlation between you and the military. Have you been able to talk to anybody on the military veteran side to see
Yeah.
how the experiences match up?
Absolutely. But
Yeah.
matter of fact, before I go on to that, like I want to make sure it's clear for my class action, only ask for two things. One,
Okay.
transparency. Warn the new, this is non-negotiable, I told them. Warn the new generation before they get in that sled. Warn them before they ever start. Number one. Number two, take care of my guys. I want to make it clear, I never asked for money. I never asked for anything for myself. I was dying. I thought I'd be dead before the case ended and before I found the hyperbaric stuff. So yeah, so okay, now we can.
So and the transparency is like kind of like what they do with football now is, hey, if you participate in football, you have a chance of having CTE or head injuries.
Yeah, actually, that was, yeah, I just wanted people to know. But it, even though they haven't started warning, they fight me on it. One of the Olympic athletes just retired because of concussion issues last week. And also last week, the Swiss team boycotted a race, and they might be boycotting the Olympics because of they said safety issues. So the Olympics athletes around the world are listening to me. They're listening, and so I'm like, I thought I would. I thought my voice was silent. I thought they weren't, but they are. And it's and we're gonna have to make them reform the sport. Just take the G forces out. What do we need to be pulling 84 Gs for? That's ridiculous.
Right,
It's
right.
ridiculous. But the connection between the military. See, you guys are coming back. They're getting diagnosed with PTSD. That's the blanket, the blanket
Yeah,
umbrella,
yes.
right? But there's studies out here now. I'm not sure if you know about them, but they're checking the brains now of some of these guys, and they're finding. I think they checked 125 brains, 75 had CTE, and so it's the same thing with those waves that's getting them. It's the same thing with us. It's the G forces. It's not even the concussions as much as the forces, you know? And so, yeah, most military guys, you guys, like, I'm not saying PTSD is not real. I want to make sure that's clear,
Correct.
you
I
know?
didn't get that at all, but you're right to say
Okay.
that. I believe it is real. I believe there is a moral injury aspect of stuff you see, but more and more, it's like, hey, Trav, my son was not in a moral injury kind of state. He had, in fact, when I talked to Frank Larkin, almost verbatim, Will, he's relaying the same kind of symptoms his son had that you had.
They're identical.
Exactly. And the difference
Yes.
between you and him is they couldn't get him to an HBOT therapy place in time.
Man, I have one in my home. I have one in my home. It's sitting right here behind me. If anybody can see this video, that's what that 8 foot thing behind me is.
Now,
And
what's
that
that
pit.
actually do? I mean, you lay in it and it
Well,
seals.
they got different kinds. You can say they have some you sit in, they have some you can put a wheelchair in. They have metal ones that are huge. You can put six, eight people in. There's so many different kinds. This one I can travel with. I can take it wherever I go.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Man, trust me, I've been saving, helping save people. Just, yeah.
How many times a week do you use it?
Well, starting out, I was doing 5 days a week. And see, a lot of people get permanent relief. Some people have to keep that maintenance going on them. I happen to be the latter. So, if I go 30 days without treatment, I start to get a little fuzzy again. And so I have a system in place now. I know what my red flags are now. Before I found HBOT, I would give myself a simple math problem that had two steps to it. If I couldn't answer my own math problem in my head, I knew that day, don't buy anything big, don't sign any contracts, don't do anything important. Because I could literally on that day, I would walk out and get in somebody else's car who's not mine. I was getting lost in my own neighborhood. Like those are things I was dealing with before this thing showed up, you know. But I learned to use those red flags to save me. They protect me now. I know what they are. I'm sorry, what was your question? I tell you, this is my glitch right here. This is,
No,
yeah.
it's fine. You kind of answered it. I'm like, how is it effective? How often you use it? And you
Okay,
just, you know,
yeah.
and you're aware of your body to a point where, okay, I'm not going to go 6 months without using it. Okay, I can't do the math problem. I'm in the chamber and I'm getting well. And I think you
Yeah.
touched on something else is for some people, you're right. I've learned that they go through the HBOT program and they're fine. But
Yeah.
some people do need continual maintenance, and I think that's an important thing to talk about.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
as we're talking, I bury people who from PTSD and stuff like this. How can we support what you're doing and help you help us?
Well, man, I'm glad you asked. I had a meeting yesterday with the military. They have blessed my pro. I'm trying to be careful what I really say here today,
Okay.
but we are a 501c3. The state of Missouri has opened up HBOT for veterans. There's a company out here or agency called TreatNow.org, and they heard about my story. They heard me. And I was trying to see I mean, I got to take one step back. When I
Sure, sure.
When that article came out about the pilots, I took it to the judge. I was trying to really help. I wasn't, like I said, I never asked for anything, any money for myself in the courts or anything. I was trying to help. I took that article to show, like, I can save these military guys. We can help these guys. I took the article, took it to the judge, shared it with the courts, with my lawyers, and then it was scrubbed from the internet. And so now, unless I send you the link or you directly connect the, I'm sorry, the,
New York Times.
yeah, New York Times. You won't find the article, you know. And so, man, I'm sorry, man.
No, sir.
When that passion kick in, brother, I'll start just, it's just
No,
so
edit
much
all this out.
information.
We'll edit all
Okay.
this out. So
Yeah.
let
So,
me.
okay. And yeah. So, anyway, this article, when I spoke up, I did a disservice to the military because now the pilots and these soldiers aren't finding the information they need to get themselves healthy.
Okay.
However, the agencies, we're uniting now to change the legislation in all the states, but I have a 501c3.
Okay.
We're about to start the fundraising process because what I'm doing that's different. I'm offering HBOT to the military and for free. Like I don't want to charge at all. And so I have investors who have been contacting me. But they want to return no money, and I don't know. I said, you guys know what I'm doing. You can do that over there. This one will be free. So we should be the first hub in the center of the country. There's one in KC. We'll be the next one in St. Louis, and we're just going to expand it out. And so that's what we're doing now. So biggest thing, I have some crowdfundings out there. We are official not-for-profit. Please just find my links, share it. We just need to raise the money to get the equipment. I have the building.
Oh,
And
nice.
building's already there. My dad was a roofer for like 40 years or 30 years. He retired. He's got this big building with three addresses on it. He got his camper, RVs parked in there. And then he was about to sell it. And I was like, wait a minute, dad. I was actually going to do this at my lake house. Like I was going to bring people, let them come in and use my stuff. But once the military people showed up, I saw 11,000 suicides a year. I'm like, what do you mean? And once I saw the symptoms, all I could think about, look, I'm the worst case scenario. I'm the worst case. Let me explain. I raced for 9 years. And so every time I went down a bobsled track, I was getting micro concussions or major concussions.
Right.
That's every time. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So I did the sport. I took 1 to 6 rides a day, 3 to 5 days a week, 4 to 5 months of the year for 9 years. Somebody did the number for me one time, and it was just in the thousands, possibly thousands. So no one's brain could be as mushed as mine, you know? And so when I saw the symptoms of the military, from the PTSD, from the CTE, I'm thinking, I know what they need. And it's so simple, guys. 1 hour in that chamber, and it changed my life. And that's what we're offering. Plus, we got other stuff that's coming with it. But just please share my story. Don't let them bury us in the media. They're burying us right now.
Nope. That's what we're here for. I will have all the links to Will's outreach and the Oscar Mike Rio show post. And again, Will, you're not alone now. You're part of the
Man,
family.
you know what your guys told me that yesterday? It was the first time I just like had relief. And after I got off the meeting with the military guys, and also like I'm trying to make sure I say this clearly. I haven't had the threats. Nobody threw bricks through my window, but I've been warned that I've been the warning's here. I know they're watching me. I know, and they told me the military is not going to protect you. Boy.
Well, there are veterans out there that want to take care of their own, and if we get our hands around you, we're gonna put our arms around you, brother.
Well, they already did, man. I guess. Apologize.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I can edit all this out. Might leave some of it in.
Nah, leave it, leave it. I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, like I got my first peaceful sleep last night. It was
Yeah.
just like, because I thought it was long. First of all, I'm not a veteran. Like nobody knows. I don't think nobody has listened. I'm just like, are you not paying attention? The other thing is, if you look at the statistics since 2012, 31% of the mass shootings coming from our veterans coming back here. And so you mean to tell me our American heroes go to war and they can come back and turn the guns on American people? No, they need help. They're sick. They need help. And that's my advocate. It was the way we would advocate to get these guys some help. And if they couldn't have been any darker than I was. See, you guys are different. They're programmed to kill. They're programmed to, me, most people you have, there's two different things that I've been all the people I've been interviewing. Now, your brain will tell you kill yourself or harm the ones who gonna harm you. And then so you're focused on one guy told me that he has a hit list of people he wants to murder. He has a special therapist whose only job is to keep him from murdering people on that hit list. And so that's what we're dealing with. And if you look at the mass shooting rate in America, it's all related. Pay attention, guys. Pay attention. These are people that are radicalized or people who had concussive head injuries. It's all the same stuff. It's like clockwork. I can predict it now. It's pretty predictable, very predictable.
What are the links to your nonprofit or things that you're involved with, Will?
Oh, you can find me easily. One Man with the Chamber. One Man with
One
the
man with the
Chamber.
chamber.
Yeah, I have a go or oh, type my name in William Person. I'm easy to find. I have a TikTok channel. It's called One Man with a Chamber. And actually, I took over because when Joe Namath put his videos out, he gave us a blanket statement. He said it reversed his symptoms, but he didn't tell us what his symptoms were. He didn't tell us how it helped or And so I kind of took over. I show you the ups and downs of using hyperbarics and until I got stable. And once I got stable and know I can live with this thing, now I've adjusted. So now I help people find help and find resources and not step in the potholes that I stepped in, because I stepped in a lot of them because I couldn't. For example, I'll give you a good example. During COVID alone, I bought 4 cars. Why? Just tell me why I need 4 cars. Like every time I bought one, I needed it. It was a special car. I had to have it because it's electric. Okay, now I bought the lake house. It's got a gravel road. Now I need a truck. And then I drove electric car to St. Louis to see my family. But my daughters were in Utah. So I rented a car. I rented a Durango. I drove that thing. And this is during COVID. So people, afraid to stay in hotels, eat food. So I got this big Durango. I pull over when I get tired, get in the back, go to sleep. My back not all twisted up. I slept great. Now I need a SUV. So it was just your rational brain is telling you all the wrong things. And that's the thing is once it takes over, it's like you have no control of what you're doing, what you're saying. If you look at the last suicides of the NFL guys, all of those people were living separate from their partners. And it's happened in the military too. There are just these divorce rates, these separation rates. And then once that person's alone, he's going to isolate, become a recluse. He's going to be like me. He's going to lay on that floor because he has to, not because he wants to. And once that happened, it festers, and it's over at that point. It's your loved ones who's going to save you. This is, yeah.
No, you're speaking truth. I mean, one of the things that I read in the VA reports is that they've now narrowed it down. And when you self-isolate, that's truly the first sign that there's really a problem and to try to get there, because the longer you self-isolate, the more likely you are going to commit suicide. So
Yeah.
it's just you're fighting your battle in a different way. I want you to know that me and mine are here for you. We will definitely get behind you and support you. It's a proven healing modality, Will, and
Yes.
I'm so glad that you're able to talk with us about your journey and your story.
My God, I don't know how I made it back, brother. It was just right people, right time, loved ones. And I mean, so much more to this story that we probably wouldn't have time to hit on, but it's a
We can
loved one
always come
thing.
back. We can always come
Man,
back.
yeah, but the military have embraced me, and like I thought they needed me. I thought that was going to be trying to. They was like, nope, we know who you are, we know what you're doing, and you're right. And let's open this Midwest Center. And so I'm coming for you guys, free. We not. I mean, we're trying to do it right. Help you fly in. We want to take care of your housing, your food, your treatment. We don't want you worrying about things back at home. Free brain, free mind. We need you to have a free, because stress will mess this process up. And it's expensive. It's so expensive. Like, if you need, say you need 30 days of treatment, and you just go to a place like what I have, this simple one, they're gonna charge you $200 an hour. If you need 2 a day, that's $400 a day. And end of the month, you're at 12 grand or more. And so people just can't afford it. And so I don't want people making life decisions on, yeah.
I will have all the links to Will's advocacy, and I was going to make a radio show post a TikTok page. Follow him there. And Will, I just want to again thank you for coming on and sharing so openly and candidly with
Yeah.
us. I've learned a lot, and we are here for you, okay?
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Again, it's Travis Oscar Mike Radio. I'm here with U.S. Olympic athlete Will Person talking about his journey through CTE and therapy through hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Will, thank you very much. We're mission in
Thank you.
flight. We'll see you next time.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.